Let's get a caller in here, Congressman. Let's get the mic from right here in Bel Air, Maryland. Mike, you're on with Congressman Perry.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
All right.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Speaking of common sense, maybe I'm just dense or dumb, but we had a looming budget crisis 3 months ago, and now we're on the doorstep of another looming budget crisis. Why was our fearless president did he not make this a priority over the last 3 months to address so that it did not become another looming budget crisis? I'm totally perplexed.
Well, I don't know. I obviously can't speak for the president, but right now I think he certainly has his attentions being drawn elsewhere.
Obamacare!
And that's been his focus. Of course, right now he's got to be in South Africa, which is appropriate, but he's loving the coverage on that as opposed to what's happening here domestically. That having been said, look, you put it in the context of things that would be important to you running your house and being interested in the future and the vitality of the nation. I hate to say it, but it's my feeling that the president has a totally different agenda, which is his agenda, even at the nation's peril. And if you think there was, you know, if you consider there was one person at the negotiating table that was willing to go over the debt ceiling, which has never been done, and quite honestly, it was not the Congress. The Congress is never willing to do that, and I'm sure the president knew that. And he was just going to sit fast and let us go over that deadline. And, you know, not that it was good for the country, not that it was good for people's savings, 401ks or investments, not knowing what was going to happen, but it was good for him politically because he knew the American people would blame the Republican Party. And that's very telling to me, where other presidents have gotten together, held their nose, you know, Bush with the Speaker of the House then, you know, Reagan and Tip O'Neill, et cetera. They did what they had to do. Clinton with Newt Gingrich, for the good of the country. This gentleman is not interested in that. He is interested in forcing his agenda at all costs, including costs to the American people. And, you know, where the Democrats said in the past they demanded a clean CR, they demanded it, they demanded the status quo, $1 trillion in more spending, more debt. Now we hear the majority whip saying, well, the Democrats will not under any circumstances vote for a clean CR. We're 2 months apart from, or 3 months apart from these two events, and it's amazing the political rhetoric for partisan reasons only, not to move the country forward. And I just think that's where we are.
Congressman, let me say this, though, and I totally agree with you. Look, when I was in the legislature, Governor Glenn Denning would pull the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, when I was in the Senate, in, would pull the different leadership in, and you come out with a deal. You just don't negotiate through the media, which this president is apparently doing. But a lot of people, Congressman, are calling my show, looking at Friday, potentially, for the House to go off on break, and then next week, the Senate going off on break. And a lot of people are like, how can anyone go on break when we're approaching these deadlines?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, of course, members don't have a whole lot to say about this. I mean, we weigh in and we don't know how the leadership calculates. And just to be clear, C4, you know, I mean, going on break is our time to actually get with constituents and you know, the meetings stack up and back up when you're
it's
down.
It's perception, Congressman. It's perception.
It is perception. But I would tell you this, where you know, we've seen the schedule published. You know, I haven't been in Congress too long, 11 months now, but I'm not holding my breath. I mean, there were weighty issues in front of us right now, and the timing is important. You know, and I don't know why we believe that we can get something done in a month here or 3 months that we haven't been able to get done in 5 years. So, you know, I would just say keep your powder dry and let's see what's going on. And I'm not planning anything at home for the next few weeks, I can tell you that.
Thank you, Congressman. Let's get Terry and Perry Hall. Terry, go ahead, please.
Hey, C4, how are you? You're right about Governor Glenn Denning. He certainly had a deal. I remember his secretary got a pretty good deal, and I think he got a son out of it. That's another story.
Congressman Perry has no idea about the problems with our governor, but go ahead, Terry.
Well, I've heard some of them.
I hear you, Congressman.
In all seriousness, what is the deal with Harry Reid exempting his staff from the Affordable Health Care Act?
He knows what all Americans know, that it's no good. It's no, you know, his staff members said, look, we're going to quit if you do this to us. And he has the ability where most Americans don't have the choice. That's why these folks think, you know, it's not bad because it doesn't affect, you know, it doesn't affect them, so it doesn't affect anybody. I mean, it's the height of hypocrisy. And I just hope at some point, you know, Republicans have found, at least recently, we do better by just keeping our mouths shut. But I hope the American people are watching this to see what's really happening here and what the Republican conference, you know, generally speaking, has been trying to warn the American people about, not because we are racist, not because we hate the president personally or Harry Reid or anything, because we knew what this was going to do to our healthcare system and to people, you know, individually in their homes and their relationships with their doctors and their finances and all. We knew, because it's written right down if you read it. We know the American people are busy, you know, dealing with their own lives, their employment, their family issues or what have you, and they've elected us to do it. And that's why we read the thing, and that's why we're trying to, you know, raise the alarm bell. But, you know, they just didn't hear it because they're busy. Now they're hearing it. And Harry Reid is a shining example of what every citizen would like to do if they could.
He is the ultimate congressman, and Terry, he is the ultimate example. Terry, here he, his staff, along with Nancy Pelosi's staff, sat in the room behind closed doors and wrote the bill. And so for his staff, of all staffs, Terry, to get any exemption, they're the ones that were in the room at the time.
You remember when they passed this, before they passed this Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve.
Now they're in a hurry to get away. But the one question I do have, how can the president selectively determine what portion of a law is going to be followed and which portion isn't? I mean, if Americans could pick and choose what portions, they're not suggestions, they're laws. And has anybody tried to come up with the constitutionality of this or the origination clause for that matter? Because I think this was a Senate bill, correct?
Yes, that's exactly correct. Well, it was done under reconciliation, which was a procedure to get the thing done. But, you know, how can he do it? He's just been doing it. And I'll tell you, the reason he's been able to do it is because he's had a complicit Senate and complicit courts at this point. And, you know, if you're going to assail the king, so to speak, you better make sure you take him out. And he's been confident, rightly so, to knowing that we cannot take him out. And so he's just emboldened to just continue with these unprecedented constitutional challenges. He is just emboldened to do it. And only
but an effective date, Congressman, an effective date. You and I know this. When you vote on an effective date, that's what it is. That's exactly. Yeah. You can't come along unilaterally and through executive power do that. It's been amazing to me as someone who knows the process to watch this happen.
Yes, it's been breathtaking for many of us in America, but unfortunately not 50% of us, and that's kind of where we are. I think we're heading over the hill right now on that, but it's been a long road, and there's been a lot of damage and destruction in the last 5 years getting to this point.
Well, Congressman Scott Perry, we know you're fighting a good fight. Good luck in that hearing, and we're going to look out for H.R. 3498. It doesn't have to be a lot. You know that old saying, Congressman, you know how to eat an elephant. One bite at a time.
Yeah,
so.
One bite at a time. That's exactly. You start out with a million here and a million there, and pretty soon you're talking real money, as they say in Washington. So let's start down the road.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your family, Congressman Scott Perry.
Merry Christmas to you and your listeners as well. Great to talk to you.